Welcome to our program. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. I thank you for joining us for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And today is a very special program because we hope that we always have the opportunity to meet with our guests in studio. The energy is so much different, and we have that opportunity today with a pair of musicians, husband and wife team, who are, shall we say, in the new thought area, if you will, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that means and what it is. And we have with us Laura Berman and her husband, Craig Benelli, and I want to welcome both of you both into the studio, into our program, and to Santa Barbara.
Thanks, Richard.
It's great to have you here.
Great to be here.
Glad to be here.
And we're going to talk about and also hear some of your music that you are performing here along the coast and in other parts of the country as well. Mm-hmm. We had chatted before we started the program that you, Laura, you said that the two of you had actually gone to my hometown of Phoenix in July, to which I said, I'm so sorry, what a mistake that was. I know July in Phoenix. And look, I can say that because I'm from there, okay? And I know a lot of people love the heat. I'm not one of them, and I was born and raised there. But again, there are those who are born and raised in Michigan where they have to shovel snow in the wintertime, and they don't like it there in the snow, and
right.
I would probably love it. But it's nice to have you here, and I'm going to have you share some of your music here in the second portion of our program. But give us a little bit of a background on how the two of you got started in this. I'm not even sure if the word genre is the right word to use, because people have different ideas when they hear the phrase new thought, or if it's metaphysical, or if it's spiritual, or if it's higher consciousness music. I mean, what is that? So what is it that's brought you to this place where this is the type of music that you're performing and sharing?
Well, the short story of it is that Craig and I are originally from the East Coast, so we moved to the West Coast about a year ago. And a friend of mine, a singer-songwriter friend in Manhattan, had called me and said she was going out of town. She needed somebody to sort of sit in for her playing a Sunday service at this religious science church, now called Center for Spiritual Living, in Morristown, New Jersey. And Craig and I went together. Actually, we had just started dating. And I played some of my originals, some songs that they, group songs that they sang together. And it was a tremendous experience for us both. I mean, people loved the music. They bought CDs. It was a whole other thing after being the singer-songwriter in Manhattan and sort of trying to get people's ears. And Craig was a side man, guitarist, so it was a whole, and grew up Catholic, so it was a whole other dimension,
right? Well, I grew up Catholic, but I wasn't going to church anymore, and I started reading.
Oh, one of those.
Yes, one of those recovering.
I can relate.
And I started, but at that time, I was reading a lot of Wayne Dyer books and Neil Donna Walsh's Conversations with God. And it was funny to walk into a place that was called a quote-unquote church, and yet they were talking about all these wonderful concepts that I was reading in these books, and I didn't know that a place like that existed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just nice. And I said, maybe we should come back again. and then it started where we just started performing more. And then they asked us to write some songs for a 7-week program called Adventures in Faith, in which they would give us a topic and we had to write a song every week about that topic. And that's how we got most of our material.
That's got to be an interesting challenge to be asked to write a song a week for a particular topic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the equivalent of me having to write a commercial every month on a specific theme for an advertiser who's got a long-term campaign going.
Exactly. Yeah, it was very challenging. But because we're both songwriters, what we did was just said, okay, we do every other week. Instead of writing it together and putting that pressure on both of us every week, we'd say, well, I'll do 1 week and you do the other week. This way we would both have 2 weeks to write a song. So then we'd look at the sheets of paper and what each week was going to be and be like, okay, you want to take that one? I'll take this one. I'll take forgiveness. You take surrender. I'll take declaration and, we'll be done with this. And it was really cool.
It was a great
experience.
And also then I began to go online and see that there was more of these centers, at least on the East Coast, and we just started traveling, and it kind of took off from there, and then we just decided last year to move to the West Coast just to there's more of the new thought sort of thing happening.
Yeah. We had played a conference at the Asilomar Grounds in Pacific Grove.
Mm-hmm.
We played what was called the RSI Conference, Religious Science International, and everybody who had like a name tag on was Reverend So-and-so from Portland and from San Diego. And we're like, oh my God, this is where New Thought is. It's really on the West Coast because there's just so much of it here. That energy seems to be here, and it seems that kind of thinking seems to be embraced here on the West Coast.
Certainly more so probably than in the Midwest and the buckle of the Bible Belt, as they say.
Yeah, I always tell people that if we were writing songs about, you know, how Jesus died for your sins, we wouldn't have moved to the West Coast.
Oh, sure,
we would have just stayed.
We could move to Nashville.
There's actually a lot
of New Thought in Atlanta and Nashville. There's some great stuff going on. It's just taking them a little bit of time. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
what you said, there was just more of it on the East Coast and the Midwest, yeah.
West Coast.
Well, we're going to hear some of that here on our program as we continue talking with Craig and Laura, and we're going to hear some of their music. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay with us. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Understanding is what it is all about. That's what we try to do here, understand one another. That's how we get to a better place of community. And that's part of what we're doing here with Laura Berman. She is one of the vocals in the duet of Berman and Benelli, if you will. Craig Benelli, her husband, they're here in studio with us on Tell Me Your Story. How did you get into the New Thought area? I mean, were you born and raised? I mean, Craig, you weren't, because you said you were Catholic
we
and
Catholic.
Not going to church.
Right.
And
right.
You will burn in hell.
Yes, I guess. Yeah. And that's fine.
As long as you get to take your guitar, right?
That's right. That's right. But the wood will burn very much faster than I would. So, it just seemed to be something that we were drawn to because we were both kind of, I guess, maybe separating ourselves from our traditions and mm-hmm. the dogma. It was good. It's funny. We met somebody a photographer, and I think it was in the Phoenix airport. We were flying out of Arizona, and we were explaining to him what kind of music we did, and he got it right away. And he said the perfect thing. He said, "Oh, so your music is enlightening but not religious, and it's spiritual but not dogmatic." And I was like, "Well, yeah, those are the, you know," it was such a perfect. You know, in 2 seconds, he explained what I was trying to say because I was going through my little, you know, my little elevator speech of, have you ever read Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra? And he's like, oh, yeah, I know what you know, I get it. You know, and he was just like, you know, it was because the centers we play at, there's nothing that you have to do except step into your awareness of your divinity.
Yeah. I'll take that another level. Inspirational and spiritual is your music just is
just right.
Music.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Even listening to Craig right. speak, I'm in a like really interesting spot now, crossroads and wonderful spot, but just knowing that perhaps me being in these centers and playing in front of these people was for me to sort of build my own self-awareness and my own confidence to be able to go out and step onto the next road and the next thing and so I'm really grateful for all of it, you know. Yeah.
Now, you have how many CDs that are out now?
3.
Okay.
And then Craig has a CD of original Christmas music that he wrote.
Mm-hmm. Ah, how appropriate this time of the year.
Yeah.
Great.
We're doing a bunch of concerts in Portland, Seattle, and around the holidays, so we're looking forward to that.
And what we're going to do, I'd like to have the two of you now, because we talked about this before, share with us one of the two songs that we're going to share with you on the program today.
Oh, yeah.
And it is, what's the title of the first song?
I Do. And
I
it's
do.
From the CD Detour.
Okay. This have something to do with weddings and things, or is a different kind of I Do?
Wow. We did actually perform it
at a wedding,
but I guess whatever needs to be heard.
However it hits you.
Yeah.
All right. So here are Laura Berman and Craig Benelli, and this is I Do.
they only weigh me down and hide all my don'ts and won'ts so they can't be found. I bottle up my fear and throw it into the sea. And if by chance one day it floats back to me, I'll just laugh out loud and say, here and now, I do to a love that knows no reservation. And I do to a will that knows no hesitation. And I do to a choice with no expectation. No, no, I used to say don't, but now I do. I do. Oh, yes, I do. I take away this life I thought was safe and sound. Loosen up these ties that only kept me bound. Shred all my limitations and all my beliefs. Let the confetti fall into the streets. This is my parade, yeah, my time to proclaim. I do to love that knows no reservation. And I do to a will that knows no hesitation. And I do to a choice with no expectation. No, no, I used to say don't, but now I do. Don't you know I used to say don't, but now I do, I do, I do, I do. And I do to a love that knows no reservation, yeah. And I do to a will that knows no hesitation. And I do to a choice with no expectation. I do to a dream that knows no limitation. And I do to a force that knows no gravitation. And I do to a high with no intoxication. No, no, I used to say don't, but now I do.
Laura Berman and Craig Benelli, and I do, and that's beautiful. I love that. Yes. And we're here talking on Tell Me Your Story, and this, of course, is available. You can go to your website. Actually, you can go to lauraberman.com.
Laura Berman Music.
Oh, well, I got there just by
Laura
putting...
Berman.
Okay.
Who counsels people on specific issues unrelated to music.
Uh-huh. Well, if I'm catching the subtext there, it actually could be related. Needless to say, it's lauraberman.music.com. And then you can actually end up at your MySpace location where you have your music available to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can go and hear more of the work that you've done. And you've been performing for how long?
Well, in this particular niche, probably about 6 years. I mean, I've been singing a long time since I was probably in sixth grade, and Craig's been playing guitar for a long time. But yeah, 5 or 6 years with this particular bunch of tunes and us working together.
Yeah.
So it's been pretty.
It's been a trip.
Pretty wonderful. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what is New Thought from your perspective.
All right. Well, we both have different insights on that.
Yeah,
I just feel New Thought, the catchphrase in New Thought has been, you know, just change your thinking, change your life. So it's really looking at how you think about yourself and the world. And I like to see it as a little bit of just spiritual psychology. You know, it's faith and spirit and love and God, but there's also, you know, we're humans and we grow up with stuff. So it's kind of unwinding from those ideas and the ways we think, negative ways that we think, mm-hmm. and then seeing how that outpictures in our life and success, family, happiness, joy, you know. So that's the heartfelt kind of heart space response. And then there's
I always see New Thought as just not seeing God as someone or something that's separate than us. It's not somebody that's in the sky. It's we are just all a divine expression of that we were created and we were extended from God, and so that we are here to just be aware of that and step into that and realize that miracles can happen every day just from being in that place, from being in the awareness of your divinity and that you are created from a divine source. A great example in Science of Mind is that if you look at, you know, when you take a drop out of a drop of water out of the ocean, it contains every single element that the entire ocean contains. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it just that small drop. And that's the analogy that we use a lot, that religious science, a New Thought, that everything that God is, we are. And the only thing that's kind of preventing us from being all of that is just a lack of awareness or being stuck in all of our worldly concerns kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
The 21st century analogy might be of a hologram. And I remember seeing back in, I guess it was the 80s, they were first experimenting with holographic photography, and they would take the photograph and put it onto a glass plate. And then they would break the plate, and they would show you each of the pieces of that
right.
etched hologram. Hmm. The whole image was there in the piece of
wow.
glass. Okay. You didn't get a piece of the hologram. Mm-hmm. You got the whole image. And then, of course, if you put it all together, of course, it was the whole image once again.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was fascinating
yeah.
from that standpoint. And so whether you use the ocean analogy
yeah.
or, say, the holographic image analogy, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think that years ago, I used to use the phrase with people, because I was, of course, as you, born and raised Catholic, and I actually worked early years in Christian radio.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was heresy to even contemplate the concept that we were part of God,
right.
let alone God.
Right.
And so I would say to people, as far as I know, I didn't create myself. As far as I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you?
That's right, no.
I have no idea.
Right, right.
And so to make the assumption that some external source or force created us, I don't know that either.
Right, right.
I don't know definitively. I can say I believe,
mm-hmm.
but belief isn't knowing. And belief is a lack of factual information. From my perspective, belief is, it's just what you have been told or what you may have experienced, but you can't substantiate. It's like I told people about my perspective on reincarnation is when a baby comes through the womb with a rock from the first century or something, then maybe I might have more, because there you have concrete evidence.
Right, right.
He came in with something that is carbon dated at 2,000 years or 150 years or whatever.
That's right.
But that hasn't happened.
Right.
And
right.
so people who believe in reincarnation, it's a belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may have a very strong belief that's like, you know, put out there as if it were they knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it still is a belief. And I'm not going to sit here and take away from another person's experience
right.
and say, oh, no, you didn't, that didn't happen, couldn't happen. because it says over here, or it says over there, or yeah. they said.
Yeah. I always say that, because we all have our own belief systems, mm-hmm. good or bad, but I always say that it's not the belief itself, it's what you're doing with it. You know, there's nothing wrong with any of the belief systems in any of the different religions. It's just, is it for getting a person to expand or contract? Mm-hmm. And so yeah. when people start taking their belief systems and they start saying, well, this is how you have to believe, and if you don't, then you're going to, like what you said before, burn in hell. so that's a constricting thought. That's not a thought that embraces everyone as equal. It's just a thought that kind of limits somebody. But then there are people in, let's use Christianity as an example, people like Joel Osteen, who are doing wonderful things with that belief. Mm-hmm. He's going out there and he's really affecting people's lives. And I have friends that read his books and they just say, I'm really changing the way I think. And I was like, well, that's great. It's not about saying that one thing is right or wrong. It's just about saying, if it's working for you, are you expanding from it? And is the world going to become a better place because you believe that? Then so be it.
Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful thing. And sometimes I just feel like, you know, whether it's New Thought or Christianity or whatever, again, with the belief systems, it's just how you show up in life. Like if you could bring a sense of peace, you know, when you wake up in the morning and step out and like, you know, provide grace for you and others in your presence. Like, I mean, it's as simple as that. It's just, you know, I know for myself, I go through phases. I'm just like, absorbing, listening to everyone else. And then it's just like, whoa, I need to step off that little crazy for me, just following what everyone else is saying, whether it's New Thought or not, you know, mm-hmm. and just like live. just live it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just live and be aware. Put a little distance between the way you think and the way you see the world and be more of an observer and not be so attached to everything. But really just as simple as just showing up and smiling.
Yeah. Showing up and smiling is a good thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you always been into New Thought?
I've been searching my whole life. I grew up in like a real cultural Jewish home, you know, where it was more just about the smells of the holidays, you know, the foods and that sort of cultural stuff. And mm-hmm. there was no spirituality in it. But I've always been like very interested. I grew up listening to gospel music, and my dad was a music teacher, and I was exposed to that stuff early on, and always was like searching for what are other people, what's out there, what are the Catholics, what's that for them, and what's this, and even as just a student of life, and even now I watch Joel Osteen, and I go from far left to far right, because even from a business perspective, this is like my market, and I'm just really interested in what it all means for everyone. But again, for me, I ride that line where I got to make sure that I'm just learning and it's not what they think is right for me. You know, that there's a line for me that I have to constantly be mindful of, that, that you know, the author or the speaker or the minister or anyone else, you know, doesn't know more about my truth for me in my life than I do.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. that can, you know, that's a practice in your life to trust your insides.
It reminds me of a Christian musician by the name of John Fisher. And he grew up in what he referred to as the Jesus movement of the late 60s and 70s. And he moved in the 80s to late 80s back to New England. Or I don't know if it was back to, but he moved there. And he, as we were talking about his new book and the music and so forth, he says, I was sitting there in my writer's garret, as it were, and he was looking out the window at the falling leaves as autumn was coming on and so forth back there. And he began to question his beliefs, not necessarily whether they were true or not, but were they his? Hmm. Or were those beliefs the beliefs that he was told he needed to believe?
Mm-hmm.
And I found that very profound. And like what you were saying, Craig, I have run into more and more people who are who will put the a label on themselves mm-hmm. as I am a believer in mm-hmm. this particular system. And yet their experiences, as they share with me, are outside that paradigm, that belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, wow. This is amazing. They're finding that the paradigm they've been in for so long, in a sense, isn't serving them anymore mm-hmm. because it's not supporting their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, to me, that is a wonderful leap
right.
to be taking.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
Yeah.
It's just imagine what we can all do as we really just stop outwardly, it's more about us. It's about what we're feeling, what we're doing, stepping out in the world, and what we can achieve, if we kind of just...
Yeah, I think it sounds like so many people with their beliefs are trying so hard. It's becoming an argument. They're trying so hard to make you think that they're right and you're wrong. And whether, I think the best thing to say is, this is what works for me now.
Mm-hmm.
When people say, are you a religious scientist? Are you, I just say, well, whatever I'm exploring now, it's just working for me now.
Yeah.
This
mm-hmm.
is the first time where
I can't
feel
put a label on it.
I feel more connected to something, something divine,
mm-hmm.
that I'm feeling really connected to that. And this is just working for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's it. And I always
mm-hmm.
say, you don't have to believe this. It's mm-hmm. not something that I'm not trying to convince you. This is not an argument. It's just... It's working for me.
I had a phase where it was. I am trying to convince you.
Right.
And I had to get out of that. And interestingly enough, it was this time of the year around Thanksgiving and the holidays where my oldest sister and I got into a bit of a debate in the kitchen, to which my mother said, you two can leave now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I told her, look, my beliefs of yesterday are not my beliefs of today. My beliefs of today are not my beliefs of tomorrow, because I'm constantly experiencing and taking in new input, if you will, and I don't know what I'm going to believe tomorrow. I honestly don't, and nobody does, because you don't know what experiences you're going to have, what people you're going to come across, what books you're going to read, movies, television, you're going to see, and on and on and on, and how that's going to influence you and change you. And I think that when people start doing a retrospect of their lives, I actually go back through some of my journals that I was writing when I was in my 20s. And and some of it I'm going, are you kidding me? I that's where I was at? And it's like, you can't disown it, because that's why you are where you are today.
Exactly.
Right.
And one thing came to mind when you said belief. Maybe it's just not what we believe, but it's just a greater understanding and a knowing, so that even by saying knowing or understanding it, it takes it out of like this distance. It's more like, whew, all right, no, I know something. I understand something.
But see, your knowing isn't your knowing, isn't yours.
It's a relationship that you have with whatever is your inner guide.
Mm-hmm.
So how could someone once said, God only hears your voice, and even growing up in a non-spiritual home, the word God is, it's still sometimes I don't even know what that means, because I didn't grow up in a traditional religious, but so whatever it is that you understand for you in your life that makes you the person that you are, and you're living your dreams and your creative, whatever, however it is, that's your relationship. So it is, it is defined by you. And,
I'm curious, for some reason, what's coming to my mind right now is a particular book, and I'm not sure if it's associated with the various churches and New Thought, but the book that comes to mind is A Course in Miracles.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've studied.
Haven't gotten through the whole book yet.
Yeah. Who does?
It's very dense.
I want to meet the first person who has read the whole darn thing.
He's still reading the course.
We were going to a Wednesday night group held by a wonderful teacher in A Course in Miracles, Jeffrey Mirnoff. And he would have a Wednesday night group at his house, and it was great. And it got us into reading that book much more. And then when we moved west, we got together with another group in Ashland, Oregon, that was doing it. So it was nice to find a lot of those readings inspired a lot of the songs as well. Some of the lyrics, when I look at some of the lyrics that I've written, I look at that lyric and say, oh, I was definitely reading The Course in Miracles, because I would have never said it like that.
Although we do have a rule in our house, no spiritual drive-bys, which means when you're having an argument, you can't pull out your spiritual card. Like, we'd have an argument and Craig would pull out The Course in Miracles spiritual drive-by, like, you could choose peace instead of this. And I'd be like, take your peace and shove it.
now we, in an argument, we kind of just be present for that other person and try and be there and not use all of, because all of the spirituality is what you realize after the argument. You realize, what would have helped if we had chosen peace during that time. But when you're in it, and when you're in the, what Course in Miracles would say, your ego, or what Eckhart Tolle would say, your pain body, when you're in that, spirituality isn't going to do anything when the other person is telling you to be spiritual.
Yeah.
Or, when you're realizing it, then you'll
get out of
it.
Have you read the book or started?
I have a copy of it.
That's a start.
Well, see, what I'm hoping is to get it by osmosis. It's in my bookcase.
You already know everything that's in there.
Well, see, that's what's rather fascinating about all of these different conversations that I have on this program is that I hear about, there's this concept that I hear referring to what's called the Akashic Records.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
It's in the ether. And supposedly it contains all this information. And ergo, I can just, you know, go there, you know, go to that library. I think I have the card, the library card, to check stuff out. But it is true. That is what we are told, that yes, you can go to that person and this wise person and that sage and that guru and that teacher and that minister and that reverend and all of the books and the CDs and the DVDs and the presentations and the workshops and the programs. But you already know all of this.
Right.
It's not outside of yourself. Right. And it's like what you were saying earlier about that inner knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And it rings true for you. And that's really why we bring all of these diverse perspectives to this table we call Tell Me Your Story. Hmm. Because even though it's not necessarily new paradigms in terms of, there's something new on the planet, new in the context that maybe you never heard it before, you never considered it before. And what's fascinating is you end up creating a new paradigm within yourself because your belief system, and I'll to use the only phrase I can think of, is different from all the other nearly 7 billion belief systems on the planet. Mm-hmm. There are no two that are alike, as the concept of the snowflake. There are no two that are exactly alike, quite similar maybe. So we bring them all to the table. And then you get to take a piece, and you get to take a piece, and I get to take, and I take what I need, and I leave the rest, you know? And what I love, too, is this analogy of the analogy of chocolate cake that's sitting there on the counter. And someone asked me, you want some chocolate cake? No, I don't want any chocolate cake. And I can come to that with attitude or whatever I want. Does that make the chocolate cake bad? Absolutely not. It just means I don't want it right now.
Right.
Well, the same thing applies when you are associating or disassociating with individuals or groups, organizations, beliefs, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever it is that you associate or disassociate with, does it make that bad, wrong?
Mm-hmm.
It just, you're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we could maybe take that perspective when someone isn't interested, there's nothing wrong with me. It's they don't want to hear this right now. It bothers them. And so when you go into these churches or entertainment centers or wherever it is that you perform, okay, these different venues, you run into people like that who – yeah, they're there, but they didn't really want to be there. They're there with their spouse, their significant other, their mother, their father, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, I just, you know, all right, fine, that's nice. You know, go on and do you run into many people like that who are kind of, they're not really there, but it's like they're sort of, because once you put the music out there, it's too late. They've heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
We customarily get a great response from the music. I mean, because also it's when you're playing in a service or a workshop, the music's placed in appropriate, even just the flow of it. It's just kind of like put into the service either before a talk. It's really impactful. There's some Sundays I don't want to be there. I mean, I'm the one who doesn't want to hear it, you know. But you know what? The truth is I have to be okay with that's what my growth is also. It's like if I don't feel like being here today, it's not that I'm bad. Maybe it's just because I don't really have to hear, you know, maybe again, for me, and this is just my practice in life, is that knowing that what I am feeling or have to say may be more inspiring to me than what someone else.
Yeah.
Does you ever go to a workshop and you're like, wow, I've heard this before, or I'm not really feeling it, you know, maybe that's okay, that maybe you're evolving in a different way and you don't need it.
Yeah.
But even in the New Thought movement, it's challenging for those feelings to come up because you feel like, okay, they say that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. So I'm supposed to be right here hearing this information. And then you're caught up in that.
And I've made the mistake of saying that to some people. If you didn't want to be here, you wouldn't be here. But you are here, ergo. And, you know, I'm fortunate. I've never been slugged. Been hit, you know.
But it is true, you know.
Yeah, there is some truth to that. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I'm here with Laura Berman and Craig Benelli. And we are talking about their music and the New Thought Movement as it has evolved over the decades. I mean, it's been around for a long, long time. You can go to laurabermanmusic.com, Laura Berman Music, and it'll take you to the MySpace page where you can hear some of her music and then order it if you'd like, if this interests you. We're going to hear another song here in a few minutes from the two of you. Is it difficult? I mean, first of all, you talked earlier about the trade-off as far as these lessons, and every other week you would write a song. You would write one, and then you'd write one. Mm-hmm. So it gave each of you 2 weeks to come up with a piece of music for that particular thing. Is there one particular place that gives you inspiration for songs, for the lyrics, than another? I mean, I know you mentioned before where you look back at some of the lyrics and say, yeah, I was reading The Course in Miracles there.
Yeah.
Or yeah. I was reading Conversations with God.
Yeah, yeah. I
mean, that kind of thing.
It's.
Or you just take it wherever it comes from. You can't really identify.
When I kind of write, I just kind of play chords and sing, you know, gibberish. You know, like the great story is that, you know, Paul McCartney's Yesterday was the working title was Scrambled Eggs. Scrambled Eggs. Scrambled Eggs. You know, he was that because he needed to come. He was just writing and he was in the flow and he just sang the first thing that came out of his mouth. And he probably said, well, of course it's not going to be Scrambled Eggs. I'll change it later. You know, like,
yeah.
And then you're almost kind of. So I kind of write with that where I just say all this gibberish and then I look at, you know, the rhythmic phrasing and then all of a sudden I have more of a structure and a shape.
Yeah.
And then I'm kind of in the flow of like, well, now I know what the rhythmic phrasing is. What's the song about? What do I want this song to be about? That's the subtext. Yeah. And then I try and fit that subtext in this little kind of shape.
Right.
And it seems to work. And then it's always what I'm going through at the time or what I need to hear at the time.
So the melody seems to come first for you?
Yeah, the melody and some kind of gibberish just always comes out
just
for me.
Just something to give you the rhythm in the melody.
Yeah, just like, you know, and you know, I just play chords and then all of a sudden it just comes out. Because I'm an awful poet. I cannot sit down and write a poem. I need the music and the melody to give me that structure. Yeah. To work out the rhyme schemes and everything.
What about you, Laura?
I usually start like playing, jamming on the piano or guitar, and then a melody fits in right. You know, a melody is inspired by how I'm feeling. And then I don't know what happens with the lyrics. Sometimes I'll just sit down and whatever the feeling of the music and the melody is, that an idea comes to mind. Sometimes I've written lyrics, just an entire page of lyrics sitting at my desk, and then I kind of fit it in with a melody. For the most part, it's just singing. Being a singer, I just, melodies come really easy to me. So.
Yeah, that's one thing about you.
I got the melody thing down.
I have to say that I have tunes rolling through my head all the time, and every once in a while, usually when I'm by myself, in the car or what have you, or walking along the beach, they'll come and I'll just kind of start, as long as there's something louder than me, I will start to kind of verbalize them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll remember them. There was one actually where I went through one of these personal growth programs back in the 90s, and I met this gal in the program, and she sent me a poem about our experience in that program. And it was like the music just came out, you know, as I'm reading the poem, I could hear the melody of this particular song. What gets me about converting all of that into more than just guitar, when you start hearing like full orchestration, whether it's a symphony or whether it's a band, is how that happens. Or are the band members usually, or the participants creating the music, are they that good that they can just start creating from the melody line? And this is kind of far afield from our tell me your story kind of thing, but I find that process so fascinating, and I wonder sometimes how that happens. I know Beethoven heard everything. I think it was Beethoven who heard all the stuff in his
Mozart,
head.
Yeah.
Mozart.
Mozart. Mozart.
Yeah. Mozart. Yeah.
I guess it's different scenarios, right? Because the live band thing, you show up with the music, the charts, and the band plays what's written, but also embellishes with their own style. But when you come to producing a record, I mean,
that's what we, because we
were. I mean, yours isn't just vocal and guitar.
No, the record
I've heard the CDs.
Yeah, the record is, we wrote the songs and we were playing the songs acoustically for so long. And then when it was time to do a record, we didn't want, with a certain batch of tunes, we didn't want them to be acoustic tunes. We wanted these tunes to have a band.
Yeah.
So we got the musicians that we were fans of, meaning like, I'm a big fan of this bass player, I'm a big fan of this drummer, I'm a big fan of this organ player, this guitar player. And then you have them bring their creative gifts into the pool, and they just do what they do, and it's just amazing
it
to
is.
Watch. They
it,
just, you know, they're like, you know, because all they have is just a chord chart in front of them that says, you know, the chord's going to come in here, and they just know what to do, and they, because they've, you know, these are like session players who know what to do, and they've worked with so many different songwriters and played so many different types of songs that they just come in, they know what sound they want, they know, you know, my brother was the drummer on the record, he knows what kind of snare drum the song needs. The bass player says, "Oh, I'm going to use this bass," and I'm like, "I don't know, just you know, it's a bass, you know," and they just know,
and
it's just awesome, it's great.
I love that.
Yeah.
For me, producing radio theater was like that back in Phoenix. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we want to have you folks share with us another melody, which would be titled what?
Well, I'd really like, since Laura was talking about her approach to songwriting, this is a song that Laura wrote on guitar, and she doesn't play a lot of guitar, but when she actually picked up my guitar and started writing this song, and I don't know what it was, maybe because you were out of your element of the piano.
Yeah.
It's like one of my absolute favorite songs that we do, and it's called I Realize. Aww.
I Realize, and I'm going to ask you to pull that over just a little bit towards that direction and have us listen to I Realize. This is Laura Berman and Craig Benelli.
Broken pieces seem to lead nowhere. Why do I feel that my life is just pretend? All my dreams stay way too small. They lead me back to where I started from. How can I move when I fear what lies ahead? There's more than what I see. Each step brings me closer to free. Yeah, yeah. I realize it's all inside of me. I realize there are no walls in between you this holy word, you and me and this holy word. I realize now, and with each new day I see my life getting bigger with less denying. It's my choice now to leave or just give in. Yeah, and every morning I give thanks, amen, to all the growth I've experienced. And I've become a dream that's worth believing. Well, there's more than what I see. Step brings me closer to me. Yes, I realize it's all inside of me. Yeah, I realize there are no walls in between you and me and this holy world.
And this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
Empties out as you go. Walk with me, talk with me.
Tell me your story. New paradigms for a new world, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And after hearing the music of Laura Berman and Craig Benelli, I think that their dreams in a great extent have come true, that just by being able to perform the music that the both of you write.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's a wonderful gift to be to write music and to know that people want to hear it. There's nothing better than that.
Well, we've certainly enjoyed having the two of you in studio to share this, and glad that you were able to come down or up, or we're from whatever direction, here to Santa Barbara to sit in studio and chat with us for this hour. Before we wrap up the program, and we only have a couple of minutes left here, I have a quick question I want to ask the both of you. And you certainly could have gone in a lot of other directions, done a lot of other things with your lives. Why this? Why now?
Well, music's something I've always, always done, and these opportunities kind of presented themselves, and it's felt good most of the time, so I just keep doing it. And then when it feels like it needs to expand in another way, take a little breath and step on the next road.
For me, I guess music became more enjoyable to me when I was able to start writing songs and knowing that there was an audience that wanted to hear them. I was working a lot as a sideman guitar player in New York and, mm-hmm. you know, did some touring. And it was just starting to feel a little stale to me. And I just, when I started writing these songs, it just seemed to be like, it just seemed to be a good fit for me. I felt like this is it. This is where I want to be now. And it just feels great.
Well, it feels great in here right now. Thank you to the both of you for joining
us.
Thanks,
Richard. Thank you.
I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us, and I hope you'll join us every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. You can hear us live streaming at richarddugan.com. You can also go to laurabermanmusic.com. That's Laura Berman Music. We're linked. I'm Richard Dugan. Join us again next Saturday at the same time. Until then, love to Lal.